This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we continue our series on the 2015 Hall of Fame inductees when we hear from Karen O'Connor, who reflects on the enormous contribution that Miss Jacqueline Mars has made to the sport of eventing. But first, we're joined by Debbie Adams, the owner of D.A. Duras, and rider Kelly Prather, who finished ninth at the Le Lion d'Angers Young Event Horse Championships in France last week. D.A. Duras was a recipient of the Turner Holcamp Young Event Horse Grant. A very proud owner, Debbie. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Yes, proud is a good word. It's been great. You know, I went over there absolutely thinking he could finish in the top 10. You know, I really believe in this horse and how he's progressed over the last couple of years, and I thought that we had a good shot, so I was not surprised.
Well, he certainly proved what he was capable of, and Kelly, again, congratulations on that ride. That must have been a very special moment for you as well, competing in Europe and to win, that kind of position at such a prestigious event.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was a big event, and you're against the best in the world, and it was a phenomenal course and a great facility, and it was very fun to run around.
Well, Deb, I want to come back to you because all of this is, as I said in my introduction, all made possible by the Holcamp Turner Young Event Horse Le Lion d'Angers grant. That in itself must have been a very special time for you to know that you had won that, and this was an opportunity that was becoming reality.
Absolutely. Like, when I first heard about the grant, I didn't realize the power that it would have. Once we found out we received the grant, it's amazing how that kickstarts you to raise the rest of the money. Like, knowing that you have a horse of that quality and the Young Horse Program believes in it, you do whatever you can to get there. I mean, it's a real impetus, and I have to give both Tim Holcamp and Chris Turner a lot of credit because I didn't understand what a big kick that would be to get started, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Well, Kelly, just to remind us what that felt like when you knew you had the chance to ride at Lyon with the horse that you'd been partnering for a while now.
It was very exciting to know that, you know, we had the opportunity to go overseas. Any exposure over there is phenomenal. And I had heard wonderful things about Lyon from a lot of people. It was very exciting. And I have a lot of faith in the horse. We've done a lot together at this point. So I felt very confident to take him over there. I think in a lot of cases, taking a seven-year-old over to run a two-star, you may barely be qualified, where with Duras, I had done two stars already. So the opportunity was pretty exciting because I had so much faith in the partnership with him to go over there and be competitive.
Well, Debbie, let's just tell us a little bit about the travel and getting to France and all of what that involved before we get to talk about the competition, because we want to talk about the whole journey and share with the members, you know, what it means to win this grant and what that opportunity looks like down at, you know, at ground level.
Well, it all starts out when they're five. It's in the Young Event Horse Program, so it's a pipeline for the horses that are in the YEH program. So horses that compete in the championships at Fair Hill and in California, if they do well, then their name goes into the running for when they're seven. So then once they're seven, they have to have qualified for a championship, which is different than qualifying for a regular three-day event. You can't have any cross-country penalties in your qualification, and you're only allowed one rail. So getting the horses qualified, it really gets narrowed down to which horses are that capable at the two-star level already.
And then the actual trip itself, when you knew that you were going to be going, you had won the grant, and you had to raise the rest of the funds, as you say, for this trip. All that preparation then was down to you. Was it arranging the flight and the transportation, ground transportation, and, of course, the event entries and all of that kind of thing. That was down to you, was it?
That was me. That was my job. But I got to tell you, it was mind-boggling. I mean, I had no idea what I was getting into. But the actual transportation, I've used Horseflight before. It's a company based here in Jersey. So I felt very comfortable asking them questions. So the first thing I did was call them and get an estimate on costs of not just the flight, but the ground transportation, so I could make a budget to see what we could do. Because once you fly into the country, there is no quarantine when they land. So then you have to get your horse collected from the airport to wherever your destination is. Now, Kelly and I had decided to take D over a little bit early because he's never traveled like this. So we wanted him to have a couple days rest. So then I set up a friend's farm for him to rest at, so that when we put him into work, we would know who we had. I have no idea if he would have traveled fine without that extra days, but having experienced it, I would not change a thing. I would take my young horse early.
So you got to France. You both flew with him, did you?
I flew with the horse, and then Kelly came over a couple days later, and she met us there. Actually, we laid over in Holland for a few days.
Right.
At the farm where we bought the horse.
Oh, right.
Because he came. Yeah. That was Paul Hendricks, and it's a big jumper sales facility, and it's where I had purchased the horse in 2012. So we went back there.
So he was going full circle. And then when you got to Lyon, was that the first time for both of you in Lyon?
Yeah, it was the first time. And it was amazing. It's the 30th anniversary of that competition. So it's like a well-oiled machine when you get there. They know what they're doing when they put this show on.
So as a rider, Kelly, what were your first impressions when you first rode him around? What did he think to the landscape?
He's a horse that's pretty confident in himself. He's always kind of looking and trying to figure out where things are, and he's very curious. But he was very happy and excited to be there. I think to kind of second Debbie, getting him over there early, he flew over. I think he landed on like a Thursday. And when I arrived a day later, and I got to ride him and hack him around, kind of get him settled in Holland. And then when we shipped in to Lyon, he was, you know, he had been in the country, and it was just like shipping to another competition at that point. So, you know, I got on for hack and hacked him around the facility, and he felt his absolute normal self. And I think, you know, thanks to Debbie for letting him go over early. That played a big part in it. So, you know, he was happy to be there. It's a big racetrack. So we got to hack around the outside of the racetrack along the river, and the footing's phenomenal. They have two big practice all-weather rings that have phenomenal footing, one huge one that you can basically have gallop sets in if you wanted to, and another one with a dressage court set up in it. So you had all the amenities, the best footing that, you know, anywhere in the world could offer. So it was phenomenal then, and he settled in very quickly.
Well, it sounds as if all the preparation went according to plan. And then he had to put his game face on, Kelly. What was your first reaction to what was facing him that weekend when you looked at the track and knew what he was feeling like under you going into the dressage phase?
He felt good. He felt great in the dressage. You know, it's at the two-star level for a seven-year-old, you're still building on strength on the horse. You know, he can do the test, he knows all the movements, he's confident in all the movements, but he's just learning how to really hold collection. So, you know, he performed phenomenal to me. He went in the ring, he was very settled, he was very relaxed, he was very rideable. We unfortunately had a little bobble in our canter, but, you know, I couldn't have asked for any more from him at this stage in his career. I think he has a lot more to offer, and I think as a seven-year-old and where he is in his work, he gave me all that he had that day. So I was very happy with him. It was a big arena and a big atmosphere and a lot of people and a lot of cheering and stands that surrounded the entire arena, flower pots and three judges and bushes. And he went in there and he puffed up around the outside of the arena and he went down the center line, and he settled and he put his ears on me, and I was able to guide him around the arena 100%. So I couldn't have been happier with him.
And the owner was the owner nervous, Debbie, when you got to this point, when you saw, you know, how he was in his preparation and what the challenge was for him this weekend? How were you feeling about going into the dressage and coming out of it and then seeing the course and knowing what was lying ahead the next day?
Oh, of course I was nervous. I mean, I totally believed in him. I never questioned that he was going to do well. I was pretty confident he could finish on his dressage score. I mean, it's a 10-minute course where normally two stars 8.5 minutes. So that was a new question that both Kelly and I thought he would answer, but now we know he can easily. But of course you're nervous. You're so excited for the opportunity and you want to see if what you believe is true. And it was.
Possibly worse for you as the owner than it was for Kelly.
Well, I don't know how we would measure our nerves. I was pretty lit up.
I can imagine. What were your impressions of the course, Kelly, when you walked it? You know, talk about the first impressions, and then when you finally walked it before you set off on Saturday, how did it feel to you then?
Well, I took a stroll around, and, you know, it's a long course, and there wasn't anything that I didn't think that the horse would read or understand. I thought everything was pretty straightforward and there to be jumped. It was definitely a championship. The jumps into the water were a bit wider with a bit more of a drop on them than you would normally see. The first water, the box normally would be like a rails in, where it was a wide box. And I thought that was going to ride a bit tougher than it looked. And then kind of all the way around the track, the questions kind of kept popping up at you. But again, there was nothing that was horribly unfair or wanted to catch the horses out. Everything was there for them to be jumped. And the courses I'm missing, courses always ride quite forward, which suits my style riding quite well. So, you know, I walked it and I thought, well, that's a big, challenging course. But I'm sitting on a horse that I think is quite capable, and the type of course it was, I think, suited my riding style. So, yeah, there's just some points on the course. You know, you get to about 8 minutes, where it's as long as I've taken him. Some of the other 7-year-olds haven't even gone that long, and not all of them had run a CCI 2-star. So you're looking at a field of horses that may have only gone just over 6 minutes. I luckily had gone around Brome on Fair Hill, so I had hit 8 minutes on him. But I didn't know what he would feel like after that 8-minute marker. And so I was a little bit questioning there. And after that was probably the hardest question on course, was two jumps after the 8-minute mark. So just wondering how he was going to run up that hill to that last very, very difficult question. You know, was a doubt in my mind whether he would have, you know, his legs underneath him to jump off that jump and run down the hill to two skinnies. And I have to say he was phenomenal. He set out the box and his eyes were quite open through the first 6-7 fences. He was wondering where he was and why there were so many people pressed against the ropes and screaming and shouting. But once he kind of got going and we got through the first water, and I landed and said, come on, let's gallop on. Every fence after that, he landed and he took off. And I really didn't have to kick him at all. He landed in every gallop. He ran up to the last 8-minute marker. He ran up there without me having to kick him. So that gave me a lot of confidence. I let him take a bit of a breath leading up to that 8-minute marker at the owl hole. He landed through that, and then he took off up the hill to the last difficult combination and felt very steady on his feet, and just answered me, let me point him where I wanted him to go, and he never felt weary. And I got to basically canter home. I didn't really have to push hard to get there under the time. So that was pretty impressive.
Debbie, how did you feel he handled it fitness and conditioning wise? Because I know you monitor that.
You know, I thought he handled it great. I got to see him finish. Like, I watched him go out, and then they had closed circuit television there at the start, so I could watch part of the course. They didn't cover the American horse as well as they covered the French horses. But I got to see him finish and run in, and he looked absolutely fine. I was really, really excited because of the question in the 10 minutes, and I'd seen some very tired horses coming in and just, as we do at some of these three-day events, just being carried by their riders. But Kelly and Dee came flying in like they were doing a six-minute horse trial, and he recovered really fast. You know, they, when you go into the box afterwards and you're cooling him down and they do the 10-minute check, his numbers dropped so fast, so that I was very, very excited. We put quite a trot base on him, and then, you know, the normal gallops every 5 days. And then we also added canter work, just slow canter work to condition him. And that was an idea of Boyd Martin's, that we should put that kind of base on the horse. So I think the merging of those ideas just gave him a fitness that he could handle it.
What was he like the next morning, pulling him out for the jog, Kelly? How did he feel?
He felt super. He felt as good, if not better, than any horse trials I've pulled him out for the next day or any CIC he's done. He was super. We were lucky enough to get to gallop at Michael Dickens, who has a phenomenal uphill all-weather track where I did his last few gallops on him, and he was galloping with Matt Brown, who was headed to Buccalo, and he was galloping alongside his horse, and so I felt pretty confident in his fitness level. And the next morning when I pulled him out and I went out just for a little loosen up in the morning, he was happy as can be. He didn't feel stiff. So yeah, it was pretty impressive that he could come out after that strenuous course and be happy and not stiff and feeling good.
And what did you think of the show jumping track?
I thought it was challenging. It's probably one of our most challenging show jump courses. It was, again, they definitely made it a championship level course. I think it could be a little bit bigger, and there was definitely some questions asked in the lines. We had like a triple bar oxer bending to a big square oxer, and it was, you know, 6.5 strides. And again, you had a big square Liverpool oxer bending into your triple that was a 7, but you know, there was places where you could make a mistake, and there was places where you had to make a decision of what you were going to do. Otherwise, you could get caught out. So it was quite challenging, and it was big, and it was square, and he answered every question.
Debbie, what was your thoughts when you completed and you watched your horse finish 9th in the Young Horse Championships at Lyon d'Angers?
I don't know if I could describe my feelings. I mean, it's still exciting. I mean, I know he's a legitimate horse, and I was just very proud of him, and I was proud of how he went for Kelly and how she rode him. I'm hoping to get the complete video, if I can handle my French, of the whole competition, because their show jumping around was absolutely gorgeous. And as she said, it was bigger. The championships, they do 1.20 meters, which is, you know, normally advanced height. So it was a bigger show jumping course than they had ever done. And it looked absolutely fine. She just looked totally comfortable up there and knew what she wanted. And he answered her. And once they started on the course, my nerves settled to like just a normal frantic level. But no, I couldn't be prouder of the whole effort. It was great.
And he returned home safely now. And obviously you'll be looking to the future, because this on his CV is very impressive now. Debbie, what next for him?
Well, he goes out with his best friend every day now. I picked him up from quarantine on Saturday, so he went out Sunday, and then I'll go out again, and he'll just have a good, probably a good 6-week break. I might start hacking him a little bit at the end of the 6 weeks, but he can have a good break because we want him to step up to advanced next year. So I'll have a lot of work to do in preparation for that. So there's no reason to start him back too early, let him enjoy himself. But we're lucky enough to winter in Florida, so it makes legging them up and increasing his education a lot easier than if I was up here in the north for the winter.
Well, Debbie, Kelly, rather, this obviously was a very happy trip for you, and nice to have that under your belt as well in terms of international experience. So what was your biggest takeaway from that event and the partnership that you've developed with this horse?
It was a phenomenal kind of experience, and to get to compete against everybody over there just gives you that little extra kick to want to be competitive, and to know that he's a great horse, and he handles the pressure well, and I love that atmosphere. I love the big crowds and the more pressure. I really do, I think, thrive under that, and I get a kick out of it, and cross country with the people on the ropes and the pressure of it all, it's quite fun for me. So just to know that he's up for the challenge as well, and like I know him pretty well at this point, so it's pretty exciting for the future of the horse.
It certainly is. And again, that was all made possible by the Holcamp Turner Young Event horse, Le Lion d'Angers Grant. Debbie Adams, the very proud owner of D.A. Duras, and Kelly Pryor, the rider, finishing ninth there a couple of weeks ago, and looking forward to the future, no doubt. Thank you both very much indeed for coming on the program.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
And now, in our continuing series on the 2015 USEA Hall of Fame inductees, Karen O'Connor joins us to reflect on Jacqueline Mars, who is one of the most prominent owners of event horses in the USEA's history, having owned renowned athletes like Winter's Tale, Prince Panache, Gilt Edge, and Harbour Pilot. She has long supported USEA and USET programs, stretching back to the Young Riders training sessions at the US Equestrian Team headquarters in Gladstone, New Jersey in the 1990s. She has helped countless riders in their careers and continues to better the sport through her membership in syndicates of top horses in the US. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Well, she is a lady who has contributed so much to the sport, but take us back to your early days when you first met her and how that came about.
Well, indeed, she has given a tremendous amount to the sport right from the very beginning. I first met Jackie in 1980, and in 1981, at the end of 80, in the beginning of 81, she called me up and asked me if I would be willing to teach or give riding lessons to the woman that she had in her stable as an employee that was legging up her hunt horses for her, and her name is Laura Tilbury, and Laura was a bit of an eventing enthusiast and was doing quite well at in eventing, and so I took Laura on as a student, and from that point, Jackie became more interested in eventing because her entire background was that of fox hunting. She's alumni from Foxtrot School in Middleburg, and so she's had quite an extensive riding background right from the very beginning. Her family had a property, a lovely property right in Middleburg where she grew up. So I started working with Laura Tilbury, and Jackie's interest continued to grow, and she decided that she would perhaps help Laura with the purchase of an event horse, and would I be willing to help her try to find that horse. And I did. I found her a lovely thoroughbred horse that we found over in the Shenandoah Valley called Bristol Bay, and she rode that horse quite well. And then Jackie wanted to get involved in another horse, and this time I sold her a horse from Argentina that was actually given to me through the Secretary General of the OAS named Alejandro Orfila. And I took that horse on and I started competing that for her. And then we sold it, and it was just something for her to try out. And we sold it on as a profit, as a young rider horse. And that horse continued to go on as a young rider horse for many, many years. Now we're fast forwarding to 1983 and 84. And I was invited by her to go be a spectator at the 94 Olympic Games in Los Angeles. And I stayed with her out there and her family, and our friendship, our relationship continued to grow. And it wasn't much longer after that she had been always passionate about breeding, and she had bred some of her hunting mares and was producing some very nice hunt horses, but also they were crossing over into eventing horses. She had moved at that point up to Gladstone, New Jersey, or Bedminster, and
So her whole operation moved. And at that point, I suggested to Jackie that she have the young horses trained by Michael Godfrey, because he was living up in the same area and he was very successful as an event rider at that point. And so she was, that was the first time she actually had a rider that was riding all of her horses for her. And Michael was instrumental in Jackie purchasing the famous eventing horse Shannon and also Winter's Tale. And he competed those for her. And then she moved back down to Virginia. And so at that point, she moved all her horses back down. In the meantime, David and I had moved over to England, and she actually had a rider change and decided to ship Shannon over for me to compete her in England. In 1993, she won the Punchestown CCI 3-star, and she was a very, very successful mare. And she is actually the mother to Hannah Subernett's Harbor Pilot, and Harbor Pilot is by the great Irish Stallion Cruising. In addition, Winter's Tale went on to become a brood mare, and all the mares were based over at our friends in Ireland, Jane Bradbury, and that was suggested to us by William Micklem, who is, as many people know, a very, very long time and very close friend of mine and David's. And so this whole breeding operation started to grow. Winter's Tale produced a lovely another mare that we called Jungle Tail, and now she is actually a super Jungle Tail, super brood mare in Jackie's present day breeding program. So everything kind of continues on. It's been quite a ride, and as she grew as an eventing owner and sponsor, she continued to have a huge passionate love for the USET, the AHSA as it was then is now the USEF. And also the USCTA, as it was then, is now the U.S. Eventing Association. So she really was a fantastic horseman, but she was also quite a philanthropist and still is to this day for all of those horse sport organizations. To carry on forward, after when David and I married, she continued her allegiance, I should say, and purchased Gilt Edge. And I've had, and then she purchased Prince Panache. And I've had some remarkable horses with Jackie. We also purchased the horse from Mark Todd called Regal Scott, and that was an interesting deal because also being celebrated in the Hall of Fame this year is Richard and Vita Thompson. And they were longtime owners of mine as well. And the horse Regal Scott, they actually, the three of them all purchased them together for me. So you can imagine a young, hungry rider that was so amazingly backed. I was very, very blessed, very privileged to be able to have that kind of support. And she, to this day, now she has the whole training centers both in Middleburg, Virginia, and the Plains, Virginia, as well as the most beautiful property in Ocala, Florida. And those are official training sites now for the USEF. And she continues to contribute through grant programs. She owns syndication shares of horses for, I think, four riders now, and is very active in that. And she's also hugely active in the U.S. Eventing Association for the Young Event Horse Program, and as well as in the USET Foundation. She's on the board there. So it's really remarkable. Her contribution, which I suppose started out as her passion to become a wonderful horsewoman, it has affected so many people nationwide and internationally. And I don't know what the horse sports, the Olympic horse sports would have looked like without her and her enormous contribution, both passionately and financially over the last, what is it now? That must be 40 years now. So it's quite remarkable, Chris.
Well, also she's been very loyal to young rider programs too, hasn't she? And identifying young talent, not just in the horses, but in the riders.
She has been very influential in the young rider programs. And she, one of her grants is, you know, she does have a grant for an under 25. She has a grant for for the Jackie Marsden to go over to Europe. And these are amazing opportunities for riders to get that all-important exposure to be able to go to Europe against the standard of competition that is not matched anywhere in the world, and to be able to get comfortable within those ranks of riders that we only read about normally.
And also, importantly, is the training program that she has brought into the sport and the number of horses that have been produced, not least of all, by Lauren Kiefer.
Well, and all of everything that you're saying sparks many, many stories for me to talk about. It was in 1993 and 94 that she moved back to Virginia, and it was David and I were well entrenched in the British eventing program, having lived there for 5 years, and it was because Jackie was moving back to Virginia that we had discussions, and we all together decided for David and I to come back and to be an integral part of the development of her property. She purchased the now very famous Stonehall Farm, and then only put continued purchases with High Acre, Meredith South, and now the final property is Marlin Farm across the street. So all of these properties were with one goal in mind, and that was to be able to plan out and produce the very best facility possible for us to be able to take advantage of, but also for her to share that to all of the riders within the high performance aspects of USEF. She and one of those clearly that is a great story is that of Lauren Kiefer. Lauren first came to, as a lot of people know now, first came to one of the O'Connor Event Team camps, and it was at that camp that we talked, and by the end of the 5 days of camp, she was all ready to come to Stonehall Farm as a working pupil for us. And first a working pupil with one horse, and then a couple of horses, and then as David and I had our big strings of high-level horses, Lauren became the rider that would break the babies, and slowly but surely, over the last, I think, 11 years now, she has become a fantastic competitor and is now very prominent in the world scene. She's has five horses over in Europe right now, four of which are Jackie's, and of course the fifth horse is Veronica. And she's having an invaluable summer and fall that was clearly promoted by Jackie and what she knows to be a huge part of your education as an international event rider.
And we should finally mention, Karen, that she is not a silent partner in any of this. Her passion for the sport and for producing young horses and watching them progress means that she's very much hands-on, isn't she?
Oh, she's very much hands-on. I'll tell you a story. This is quite a long time ago, 92. I went to Samir, and it was the first time she got to see Prince Panache, so she came over and flew into Paris, and she, when I talked to her before, I said, "Now you're coming alone, so how would you like to do this? Would you like, you know, to be in the spectator part? Would you like to be in the stable? Would you like to help us out? How would you like to do it?" And it was just a question. I didn't know how she would answer. And she says, "No, come on, put me to work." Well, sure enough, in the 10-minute box, it was full format then. She's shifting buckets of water around, bathing horses, getting up to, you know, the top of her wellies in muck and mud, and having a great time. And she's a remarkable lady that way. Never shy of work. You'd have to get up pretty early in the day to get ahead of Jackie Mars. And she is passionate about the things that she loves, and I don't know anybody that works harder than she does and studies things. Every week we're getting pieces of articles that she has read that she sends our way to make sure that we've seen them and read them and can have our opinion on different people's programs and insights on different articles that are written about different things in the horse business.
Not least of all, to keep the U.S. first and foremost in the world of eventing with producing the bloodlines that she has and enabling these young riders to produce them.
Absolutely. You know, she chooses the riders very carefully, I think. Lauren is responsible for the string of her breeding program. Jeff Broomfield is Lauren's second in command of the Young Horse program and has been competing up to the 2-star for Jackie. And of course she has syndicate shares in horses with Philip, she has syndicate shares in horses with Hannah Sue Burnett, and also owns Harbor Pilot, and then she has syndicate shares with several of Marilyn Little's horses at this point. So she's very excited about the future. She is absolutely key, instrumental into the development of both the horses and the riders through the Riders High Performance Program and through the breeding lines and training programs of the horses. And Chris, I can't think of a better person to receive such a wonderful award as the U.S. Eventing Hall of Fame inductee in 2015.
And I'm sure she will do it with the dignity and modesty that she has shown throughout the sport and amongst many people's lives that have affected the sport. Karen, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing your reflections of this wonderful lady who will be inducted this year.
Well, you're very welcome. We'll all be on hand to celebrate with her in December in Washington, D.C., and it's going to be a terrifically celebratory weekend, and I just can't wait to be there for her and with her.
And we'll be concluding this series on next week's podcast as Kira Stewart reflects on our final inductee this year, Joe Whitehouse. But that's it for this week. Thank you all for listening wherever you are in the world. Don't forget you can keep up on social media with all our news and latest updates, as well as on the website at useventing.com. So until the next time, enjoy your eventing.